Yep, it is 7 o'clock. It is the October 23rd, 2025 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission, and I will call the roll. First time attempting to say this, Commissioner Schutzenhofer.
Present.
Is that the proper way to say it?
Schutzenhofer, yes, that's
Okay,
right.
Schutzenhofer. Okay, Commissioner Sager,
Here.
Commissioner Graham White, Commissioner Murr, Commissioner Forehand,
Here.
Chairman Franek.
Here. Public comment. We have a quorum. Public comment. I see no one here physically present in front of us. Luke, do we have any comments sent to us online or otherwise?
Nope.
Okay. Approval of the meeting minutes for September 25th.
I so motion to approve. Oh, I'm sorry.
Does anyone have any comments? Jan?
I move we approve the meeting minutes from the previous meeting.
Is there a second?
I second.
All right. Commissioner Schutzenhofer?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
Chairman Franek?
I. Okay. I do this with a heavy heart. Commissioner David Reno Ogden, a founding member of the Historic Preservation Commission, passed away unexpectedly while on a fly fishing trip with family and friends in his beloved Montana. An award-winning architect among his many talents, he would often extemporaneously sketch thoughtful and practical solutions to owners' questions during their presentations to the commission. I will miss his friendship, counsel, and bad puns. Rest in peace. And a river runs through it. The village has a tradition of honoring residents for notable contributions to our community by designating streets in their honor. Accordingly, I recommend that the commission pass a resolution requesting that the village board designate Edgewood Place as Honorary David Reno Ogden Way. Are there any thoughts?
Oh, I agree. First of all, yes, the honorary street sign. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Yeah, Dave, I remember sitting in meetings, even when I wasn't on the commission, and him sketching out, and he'd say, I think you might like this roof line a little better, or this might work better. And then I don't know if you recall, he worked with the 700 William block. They have leftover bricks, and he worked with one of the residents too. It was a beautiful what it was going to be a street marker. It never got through because there were complications with maintenance. But it, I mean, he could do that, and he would do of his own on his own time, just donating his time and talent. And then, yeah, his ridiculous puns that he would sucker me in on. And I miss those. So I do miss him so much.
I'll just say he's going to be sorely missed. Obviously, he has a legacy here with the commission and in the community, and very talented guy. And I'm just sad that he won't be here with us. And thank you for reading that. And I agree with the idea of the honorary street name.
It hits me particularly hard because, as now the last remaining original member of the commission, I've been privileged to serve with David on this commission for 18 years. And I treasure his friendship. So, is there a motion to recommend that the village board consider approving an honorary street designation for Edgewood Place in recognition of Commissioner David Reno Ogden?
Can we do it together?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I and, certainly say so. Yes.
Yep.
And is there a second?
I second.
Luke.
Commissioner Schutzenhofer? Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
And Chairman Franek?
Aye. We have changes on the commission. We welcome a new member, Rich Schusenhofer, who is taking the chair formerly occupied by Commissioner Scott Krasinski. Rich, would you like to introduce yourself to the assembled masses?
Sure. Yep. Chicagoan most of my life. I was explaining that I was in L.A. for 8 years when I thought I was going to retire. But I was my career. I was VP of engineering for Quaker, Gatorade, Pepsi, whose headquarters is in Chicago, for 40 years. And I managed not to get transferred to New York, except for the last 5 years. They talked me into finally going, and by that time I had already moved to L.A. So I commuted from L.A. to New York for the last 5 years of my career, and retired in 2019 when I moved back to Chicago after one of the big fires, and have been consulting ever since. The last 2.5 years with Diageo Beverages and a company called Manna Beverages, building a $500 million bottling plant and warehouse in Montgomery, Alabama, which we just finished at the end of September. So I need to think about actually retiring again. So, and back in Chicago, I bought a home in River Forest on the corner of Washington and Keystone, designed and built and lived in by Steve Saunders, a River Forest architect, and love it in River Forest.
Welcome. You'll find we're, I think, a very collegial commission. We all have sometimes differing opinions, which is fine. I don't think any two of us are completely in lockstep on everything, which is fine. And the idea is to freely express your thoughts and opinions each and every time. So, as I said, welcome.
Great. Thank you.
Proposed rewrite of the Historic Preservation Ordinance. What you have in front of you as draft number two is probably, I don't know, draft four?
Yeah.
Luke has been drafting, and I have been editing as we have been going. Like, as I think it was the German Chancellor Bismarck famously said, the two things you don't want to see made are laws and sausages. There has been a lot of effort into this. The idea being to come up with something that reflects our experience over, to some extent, as much as 18 years on the commission, and some changes that we think are appropriate and will provide additional public service. One of the things that I think we will accomplish by the time we are done is because we will be addressing the issues associated with accessory structures that are situated on historically and architecturally significant properties as delineated on the survey done by the commission. It became rather cumbersome to just add an additional dependent clause in a number of places. Accordingly, the rewrite has been, as I think, suggested, and that's what we're about. So it's a little modernization, a little rewriting for clarity. So to that end, are there any comments on page one? Or page two? I'm looking for where changes have been made.
I don't have any.
I have no comments.
No, okay. No questions.
One or two.
Okay. No comments.
Yeah.
Page 3, I have one. In the definition of the Architectural Review Subcommittee, in the sentence that's been added, the subcommittee shall also have the authority to make decisions regarding window replacements, repairs, and other minor alterations that do not substantially affect the historic. I would add the word architectural in front of the word character. But given the fact that we're recorded.
Oh, fine.
If you ask people to sort of lean in the microphone and say, yes, no.
Yes.
And what do you have for a comment, Jan? On page 3.
Further for page 3.
Okay. John?
Nor do I.
Thank you.
Rich?
No.
Okay. Page 4. One comment that I have, and it's at the end of the little subparagraph defining principal structure. I would add, there may be more than one principal structure on a lot. The idea being there may be multiple principal uses. However, there's only one primary use. That's the reason for the change. And
what about group of structures? Doesn't that kind of cover it or not?
They may have different uses, though.
But they're all principal.
Yeah. Yeah. There are multiple principles. There may be multiple principles on one lot.
I think the key here is the principal use, right? That's
yep.
What the yeah. It's related to.
So you want it. So somewhere you want to slot in multiple.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have a problem.
Okay. Any other comments? When this is all said and done, before the final draft gets disseminated for everybody's comment, before it goes to the village attorney, there'll be a careful checking of all the section references.
I see nothing else on 4.
Rich? No, I don't see anything.
5.
If I may, I put a sheet on your guys in front of your guys' desk from a suggestion from Commissioner Sager that it's the bolded section towards the bottom of there. It's about terms and duration of a term, and it's I think. If the commission so chooses, if there were to be a spot to put something regarding the bolded section at the bottom, I think that would go in under 13.1A, probably maybe somewhere in there about that last verbiage of 4 years on a staggered basis or until his or her successor is appointed and qualified, because I do know. Some background information. Jan, you want me to continue talking or would you like to offer an explanation?
Go right ahead.
There's just been times where people have been, waiting to be, they stayed on after their official appointment ends, but just because Kathy or the board hasn't had a chance to do the reappointments or some scheduling mixes, there's a schedule mix up where technically the person is on and serving, even though their appointment, they still have technically not been appointed. It's legally fine, in my understanding, but I thought this verbiage, or Jan suggested this verbiage, button it up a little bit.
Well, it wouldn't be unique, because not only traffic and safety has that, but are there other commissions or boards that have this?
I'm unaware, but I know it's been spoken to at the board level. So,
and if the board agrees, I think it just does button up the issue.
I think it makes sense in terms of saying that the person serves until their successor is appointed and qualified. In terms of the staggered term, I think that deals with the initial one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that we have to do that, because we've already got that in there. But yeah, I think the second half of it is absolutely appropriate.
Yep. Staff has no issue with this.
Right.
So I think I'll try to noodle it, as the word of the meeting last time, noodle it into Section A somewhere for review at the next meeting.
Great. Thank you.
Within the definition of significant property, the H of historically significant and the A of architecturally significant needs to be capitalized. So that's another thing that's going to have to percolate through with a fine-tooth comb reading.
Also, I just been looking at my computer screen so much, I did not realize that the draft watermark does not look that good for readability. My apologies to the commission. It's not on my computer screen, but now I have a printed copy in front of me. Next time we won't have that.
Well, fortunately, it was pretty light, pale, so
yeah,
you could kind of read through it. I don't have anything else on 5.
John?
Nor do I.
No.
I don't have anything else on 5. Sex.
The blue changes are the same from the last. I just couldn't find a way to, frankly, get rid of them just for the time being. So those are not, the blue numbering is not new.
Okay.
What's that on number 10? Anyway, I'm sure you got a hand. Issued. There's something in front of issued on 10.
I think the intent there was, we did have like sort of an opening sentence. And then at the last meeting, I think it was Carla or Commissioner Graham White suggested adding the commission may. And then this most recent write up, we.
Okay, Chairman. So it's just capital I and little. Okay.
Right. Just and then deny. Yeah.
Cross out the little I.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, fine.
You don't need withhold because we already have deny. So.
And then I like the word condition there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything
but
on 6, Jan?
Nothing.
John?
Nothing.
Rich?
No. I do have a general question, though. And I don't know if it's in this document or a previous document that I was reading through, but there was a question about the ability to enforce these approvals or denials. Is there an issue? Like if somebody is in a house that's on the historic registry and they apply for a building permit, does it automatically come to this commission, or what's the process?
So it goes through. So when someone applies, there's just some back end stuff. Myself and others in the building department get an email saying that so-and-so applied to do X, Y, and Z in their home. And because it's in the significant properties list, it comes to us, and then staff filters the ones that do need commission review and ones that do not need commission review from there. And that is the process. And then it will come before the commission or in the traditionally how it's been done, like window replacement is through the architectural subcommittee. But generally speaking, it's staff receives it and makes its determination, and then it comes before the commission.
Okay. Has there been an issue with enforcement or?
Enforcement, I would say, is necessarily, I think, Dave, you might be able to speak to this. I have not come across an enforcement issue of my time here with anything.
I don't remember where I read it, but it was in one of the documents I read.
Yeah, we have we have had instances where, in one notable instance, a developer tore down a significant property in order to construct two large homes on that one very large double lot. And they literally waited to the day and the hour, and then they showed up with a bulldozer. So they were, we have had a couple of instances where people indicated, and they do speak to us under oath, that they were going to do certain things and they did not follow through. We've had, I think, two instances of that.
Yeah,
but that is in fact rare. The typical comment that we get, and it's not really in the context of demolitions, but it's in the context of alterations, is that typically a lot of homeowners have said, gee, I wish I knew before I had a basement full of windows, as an example.
Yeah.
Accordingly, a couple of years ago in an architecture review subcommittee consisting of two architects, David and John, were appointed to filter those things on a much shorter basis, I believe 7 days. We now have, with this, we're also making another change, again, at the request of architects, saying it's much more common, correct me if I'm wrong, John, that you go to the HPC before you apply for a building permit so that we can sort of front load our comments in to the process before it gets involved. Sort of as a bit of a background, because there's packet notwithstanding, there's a little bit of, technical verbiage that we use. We just keep referring to the survey. What the Architectural and Historic Survey is in 2007, 2008, the commission, at the request of the village board, and I believe it's in our foundational document in the ordinance, put an RFP out nationally for architects to do an architectural survey of each individual structure in the village based upon the 8 criteria that were established by the Secretary of the Interior in 1966 and the National Federal Historical Preservation Act. That's kind of the gold standard that commissions use in determining what, in fact, merits significance. Additionally, we have engrafted onto that the concept of something being historically significant, whether it's someone who was a longtime radio host or actually the inventor of the Twinkie was a longtime River Forest resident. So so to that end, that survey was accomplished. There were, I think, roughly 2,000 structures in the village, and a certain number of them were recommended for inclusion. And what the commission did is we went through, and there's a 2-page report that was done. Sometimes it's available online, sometimes it's not. There have been glitches involved in updating it because apparently it's somewhat of a window for hackers. So sometimes it's available, sometimes it isn't. Long story short, we went through each of these. The commission at the time went through each of these two things, debated whether it should be included or not. That resulted in, I think, 3 meetings till 11 or 12 at night. And we were able to winnow that down. It was initially, I believe, 298 structures Two have since were been demolished. I think we're at 296 right now, out of give or take about 2,000. So that's sort of what the explanation is. You've got this packet, which you can sort of go through, that discusses sort of what our duties and responsibilities are, how we do it, and all that other kind of stuff. But if you have any questions, just please ask me or ask Luke.
Okay. Thank you.
So
I will get you the survey. We have like a small version. There's the big version's like this thick. It's a very robust document. I will get you the big version and the little version. So okay,
thanks.
My apologies.
It comes in two volumes. The smaller volume is basically an architectural history of River Forest and some of the architects who've been involved. The other one is the actual two-page survey report done by the architects, and each of the architects have said
through the history.
Yeah, that's the small one.
Have you ever read the history?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the architectural history of the village.
Really like this lot.
So.
I think I have them on my desk. So
any comments on page 7? I do see numbering.
No, I have none.
Yeah.
None.
Okay. None. Page 8.
So this is, if I may, Commission, this section is the top bunch of red. There was not necessarily a section about how to handle local landmark applications. And I think this was a final determination section that was later on in the packet that I moved here, because we kind of felt that it was in the public hearing area and it was didn't really fit. So I moved it up to here.
The idea being to make this usable by anyone who just comes upon it initially, as opposed to needing some kind of previous experience knowing where certain definitions are situated. So stuff, some things have been moved around, not necessarily changed, however.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, makes sense.
I don't have anything else on 8, but yeah, G is great.
John?
Agreed.
Rich?
Agree.
Page 9. Only comment I have is in 316A in the left margin. I think the reference is now 317D. But I'm sorry, it's in the right margin.
What is it? Where?
Is it the red one, the one that had changed already?
Yeah.
In 1316A.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the first, yeah. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th line down. And Seth, and I think Dave is saying that should be 1317D, not 1318D.
I think.
So I will confirm.
Okay. And 7 is work subject to commission review. So, whereas 8 is, I had to do my little outline again. Oh, yeah, because 8 is all about procedures.
Yep. Yep. Deals with demolition.
Yeah, so it's, 7. Got it.
Any other thoughts on 9?
No.
John?
No.
Rich?
No.
10. Third subparagraph up top. John, my notes said you were going to do a little editing on this. You've had a chance to offer. If not, we can do it the next time.
Well, what I started looking at was the requirements for the certificate in Oak Park, and they have a nice little list. I would like to get the commission's thoughts on, you know, our document's a little, I don't want to say looser, but it's not quite as formal, I would say, as the Oak Park list.
Okay.
But there are several things that I think make sense, and I can extrapolate these from the Oak Park and send them to Luke.
Yep.
But I think the main points were that we should include the words to scale. There's a number of little things that I think would help us review. There's a nice description of drawings required. And as far as I'm concerned, we could lift some of this verbiage and put it straight in.
Okay.
That's local government right there.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got it here. It's probably best that I highlight it and send it to you. Just
great.
Yep.
And then we can just add it in.
Yep.
Thank you. So,
yeah. It's a little more, it's spelled out a little more clearer. So.
Yep. People are going to like clear for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. I do have one comment on D5 in the first line, wordsmithing. Deteriorated architectural features shall preferably be repaired. So it's moving B, the word B.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are there any comments on page 10?
No, Jan? 10. Nothing on 10.
John?
No, other than adding in some items.
No, I'm good. Great.
Rich?
No.
Okay. Page 11. The highlighted stuff at the bottom was something that, to use our untrademarked phrase from last time, noodling shall be done. As the ordinance currently exists, Rich, we have review authority and comment on changes to historically and architecturally significant properties that cover 20% of the linear footage of any facade facing a street or public alley. So that, for instance, in many structures, if they are on a large lot, there would in fact be three facades that would be subject to our jurisdiction. That's not a change from the present ordinance. In some instances, if one lives in a house on a corner lot, as my wife and I do, all four of our sides would be subject to review because we're in a significant property. The question was, okay, how do you measure? And there was some thought about doing it based upon square footage. And I know that our two architects said, no, let's be clear about this. The linear footage is easy to figure out, measure, et cetera, and just makes more sense. So, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, John.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think
that was my recollection.
It's something that, you know, you can quantify, and
yeah,
I think it's straightforward. Whereas square footage, you never quite know.
Okay.
I mean, it takes more effort, certainly. So I've seen this in other jurisdictions. It seems to make
sense. They do the linear square footage? They do the linear measurement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. No, I agree. And it's easy to do with Google and other apps these days to get the linear measurement.
Agreed.
Any other comments on page 11?
No, and I agree with the. I always kind of thought it was linear in my mind. So
yeah, it's always been linear. That's never changed.
So we'll just keep it.
Yeah,
I defer to our architects.
Yeah, as do I. Yeah, it's. I defer to the professionals.
It's a lot of pressure here.
Yeah.
I don't know. As a retired attorney, I get a lot stuffed in my corner too. Yeah. So you know, I want to share a little bit of it. Okay. Rich, any further comments?
Not on page 11. No.
Okay. Okay. Page 12.
I got page 12 at the top. So I think, I don't know, the way I'm reading the first property. Okay, let's jump. Which four significant properties under section blah, blah, are advisory only and not binding. The commission's recommendations under 13, again, 1317A are advisory only. So to me, we're repeating ourselves. So how does this sound to you guys? I mean, we say advisory only, not binding, and then the next sentence, same reference.
Advisory, I see what you're saying.
Advisory only. So once, but do we want binding in there? But I think it's a repeat.
I think there were talks at the last meeting about trying to trim that down. Or maybe that was in another section.
No, I think you're right. We were discussing this binding or advisory. But to me, we're just duplicating, I think.
Yeah, I don't think you need the second sentence, or at least the first half of the second sentence. Okay. Good catch.
And then I'm a wordsmither, so upon request by an owner, as opposed to of an owner, up to you.
It's fine.
I like that.
Can I ask why? Just so to get my
my English grammar going way back to my childhood probably was in my ear, and it was by an owner.
Okay.
But somebody else might say, oh, it's of an owner.
I wish you were just looking to see what the background was on that.
Upon request. Well, we used to. Did you ever diagram a sentence?
I think so, way back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then
during.
Okay. And then just down at the bottom, next to the last sentence, the apostrophe is for commissions. Architectural review. Starts out architectural review subcommittee or at the commission's next regularly scheduled. So I read that's possessive. So just that's it. Just catching the apostrophe. And then I did like that on D, we now have that properties. Not zone number one, and then separated number two. I think it's nice and clear now.
The purpose of that, Rich, is there are several large properties that are associated with religious and or educational institutions in the village, which if they were put up for sale, and some of them are indeed significant, and someone wished to demolish them, there would certainly be an impact, but because of the size, they would probably not be used by, in their next life, would not be used by only one owner. And it would require a lot of legal, administrative, architectural, and just contractual negotiations to do that. Hence the thought that it could be done within the 6 months that's currently in the ordinance was viewed as markedly insufficient. So the village board agreed with our recommendation for 12 months.
I see.
There are a couple of instances where certificate of appropriacy should be initial caps. In terms of Jan's grammarian comment, if you'll permit me, my favorite historical reference on this comes from the Watergate hearings when Senator Sam Ervin of North Carolina is asking presidential advisor John Ehrlichman under oath. And Ehrlichman looks at him and says, as to Irvin's question, Senator, that's a prevarication. To which Ervin says, sir, are you calling me a liar? And Ehrlichman says, I didn't say that, Senator. And by this point in time, Ervin, who was a very distinguished looking gentleman and his white eyebrows are dancing all over his forehead, looks at his hand, rolls it over, slams it on the desk and says, yes, you did, sir, because English is my mother tongue.
He was.
So permit my historic reference. This is, in fact, a historic preservation committee.
Yeah.
So
I could watch Sam Ervin all over and over and over. The 9 months, okay, so in D1A. And so did we settle on 9 months for the non-PRI, or were we still noodling?
I think that was a noodler, and
okay.
I think it's highlighted later, but
well,
you should have highlighted.
I think you highlighted every time because you wanted to make sure that that's the six was showing up
yeah.
every time, which was good because we don't want
– yeah.
So, yeah, what did we decide about the – or we were still noodling?
Yeah, Commissioner Reno Ogden was particularly concerned with expanding 6 to 9 months. I said it at such time as we've approved the draft. It goes to the village attorney. The village attorney has approved the draft as to form, and it goes before the village board. I will be doing a presentation in front of the village board. This is a change of some significance, and accordingly, I would request that other members of the commission join me if, in fact, we seek to expand it to 9 months to express their personal and hopefully professional concerns as to the amount of time it would take. I think that was the underpinning of David's concern is how long something takes architecturally.
Yeah.
But I can't speak to an architect's view of the issue.
Yeah. And I think we talked about, you know, taking it to 12 was probably too big of an ask. So we sort of went back and forth
and
felt that if we were going to ask to extend it, that 9 would be the appropriate.
Okay.
Well, I recall we were talking about 6. Well, 6 is nothing, especially if they ask you, and then their window. I mean, we saw this with 747 William with 6 months, and those guys are fine with us. We're tearing it down anyway. Yeah, and so. Yeah, if we had had 9 months, it might have been more of a burden, or might have
we were
convinced that owner to put a little more thought into it, although he didn't. But
yeah, Richard, I think
reasons to argue for 9 months may be that many of the properties that potentially could be torn down and redeveloped, including into multiple structures, are on large lots and are large properties. Not all of the properties in our survey are, in fact, grand homes. There are many that are representative of those homes owned by people of much more modest means. It's entirely appropriate. And they would probably not require, you know, massive amounts of architecture review. You wouldn't have multiple buildings on one lot. However, when you've got a double lot or a lot that conducively someone could shoehorn in two structures, that would then argue that 9 months, because of the length of time it would involve to basically market the property. That's really kind of the core of it. So.
And we do have the ability to condition. I know that there have been times where the full 6 months or whatever have not been enforced. It's even with the PRI where you haven't enforced 12 months.
I don't think we've had anything in the PRI zone.
What about the Lutheran Child and Family Services on Madison? Was that a PRI?
I don't think so.
It was. That was one with the stained glass.
Yeah,
and
what we thought initially was stained glass. were actually decals. That's one instance when the initial review of the built environment was somewhat lacking.
Okay, so that was one where it
was also kind of
it dragged on so long because of looking into who was the architect, Rosh Halliburton, and so it went so long waiting for information that it really. But I think just if you didn't have that situation, then it, because of the building itself, there may have not been enforcing the delay. And so we've got that.
The other thing that was pertinent to that building is that some aspects of the inside were structurally unsound, and it had massive amounts of both mold and asbestos. So there were health and safety issues associated with it.
Don't say that word, the A word.
And then as far as residences, the non-PRIs, even if it's 9 months, I wasn't on the commission, but that home had been empty. That was up on Franklin. And it had been empty, and the neighbors showed up in great number. To ask that you please and allow tear it up. But I think the decision was that you didn't allow the COA because it was 1123 Franklin. So the exterior looked great, but it had been empty for so long. Nobody was buying. And so do you remember that? And then the commission, so the commission then said, okay, we're going to just exercise our right to delay for, you know, 2 weeks or something. It was not 6 months.
I think
we can sell. I mean, the nine months, yeah, but also then we have that leeway.
That the home of which you speak, Jan, most last reference, is to home that's effectively what they call demolition by neglect. It was bank owned, and they had pulled the various utilities so that it had not been heated for probably a year and a half to 2 years. And as such, there were some issues. The exterior, there were certain claimed deficiencies as to the exterior. And I know that Commissioner Reno Ogden was vehemently of the belief that that was all eminently repairable, at least as to the exterior. And I don't believe, I'm trying to think whether we had the opportunity to see the interior or not.
No, I don't think.
I don't believe we did.
They wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, exactly. I believe the comment was made that they had some, I think, insurance concerns, notwithstanding the fact that I believe at the time the commission said, we'll take it upon ourselves individually to take a look so we can make a more informed decision. So
I don't know if I'm bringing up good instances or not.
Well, I think what you're speaking to comes back to, I think at the very beginning you mentioned for the demolition delay that someone, I think it was you, Dave, or someone added the word condition. So I think that's what we can say condition, or the commission can say condition. So it doesn't have to be the full 6 months or whatever. We can end up being the 2 weeks.
I think we've typically, though, conditioned approvals on COAs. We've said, yeah, okay, provided that you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't want to do it, you know, string it out.
I'm fine with 9 months.
Yeah, I think it's the right balance. It feels like it.
Yeah, I agree.
Rich, I imagine some of the big projects you've worked on, you know, 9 months is
or goes by quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
Then you'll all join me in the chorus.
Yes.
And
great.
Yep.
Me. I'll be at the chorus.
Okay. Anything else on page 12?
I'm going to have something later about the list of the PRIs. And if you want it now, it's the Waller Gates, which is a local landmark.
Okay.
And I don't know if the local landmarks, we have two. There's a house, so it's the Waller Gate, and then the house up on 1500 Franklin. And what we're saying is that after the 12 months, then, you know, you can get your permit. But a local landmark is a really special property.
You can't demolish a landmark for the ordinance.
Okay, then.
You're not.
But
once
Waller
it's
Gates,
a landmark, that's it.
Okay, the Waller Gates, though, is on the PRI list.
It's got nothing to do with whether it's what the zoning is. If it's a local landmark and it's been approved as a local landmark, it cannot be touched. Of that, I am certain. That's how the present ordinance reads, okay. And that's how the redraft reads.
Well,
so
see, I'm reading a conflict then, because we've got this PRI with a zoned PRI, and it says shall be delayed for a period of not more than 12 months. And so does
that's a significant property that's designated PRI. That is not landmarked. That's not
okay.
A landmark.
Okay, thank you.
That's the distinction.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know if the Waller Gates are even zoned, technically speaking. I think it would, if we're getting very gritty to the nerdy of this, I think they would be. Because the zoning map, I'm looking at it right now, it has some sort of residential, but I'll still noodle around about that. I don't, because now I'm kind of interested of who even has jurisdiction over that. Just a thought.
But yeah. Now that Dave's saying, wait a minute, we're talking significant properties. Mm-hmm. Neither one of those are significant properties. Okay.
Okay. Page 13. In reviewing this, I wrestled with the language for some amount of time and then decided to drop back 7 yards and punt as follows. I don't think the present verbiage and its context is clear. So I think what we need to do is the concept of accessory structures should be dealt with something like, within blank number of days, the Architecture Review Subcommittee shall make a determination whether the application for alteration or demolition of such accessory structure requires full review by the commission. Then there's what I would refer to as the four-step analysis. Is it on a significant property? Is it mentioned within the survey? Is it roughly contemporaneous based upon building permit that have been issued? Is it something that's the same materials, construction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of which are the burden of the proponent to say, yeah, it's significant. If yes, then the whole process goes through, because at that point in time, we've determined as a commission that it is, in fact, while it's an accessory structure, it is of significance, just as the principal structure or structures on the lot are of significance. And it goes through the process, including the commission's determination as to whether the application is complete, then a public hearing. If no, then the Architecture Review Subcommittee can make its own determination. For instance, if it looks at a significant property and it says, gee, that's a prefab garage that was put up within the last 10 years, you can get rid of it. No issues. I think that's a lot clearer than sort of some of this moving things around. So I think rather than kind of getting caught in the, okay, and sub this and, you know, reference that, maybe we can sort of like redraft that accordingly for the next go around.
I think the main hypothetical change coming from Chairman Franek here is that as the existing rewrite right now, the main thing with the garages was the acceptance of the application, and that it took 2 months, sometimes even 3 months, to get the meeting for someone to demolish their garage. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. You're suggesting that the architectural subcommittee has, as it currently stands written right now in the red, they have the power to deem an application complete, which is like step one of the two-step process. But I think, Dave, you're suggesting we take that power is removed, the application to deem them complete, but the architectural subcommittee is permitted to look at a garage application and just be like, yeah, no, the Historical Preservation Commission has no jurisdiction over this. So then the commission wouldn't even have to meet. Right. Is that the change you're suggesting? I'm trying to summarize it.
Not quite.
Okay.
What I'm suggesting is that the first determination is made by the Architecture Review Subcommittee, and it probably is a longer period than 7 days. Mm-hmm. It may be 14 days, it may be 21 days, whatever it is, that within that shorter period of time, somewhat less than 30 days, because it's going to require a lot more review than just, you know, hey, take a look at the windows that are proposed to be revised, that what happens is the Architecture Review Subcommittee looks at the totality of the circumstances. It looks at the information within the application. It looks at what I would call the four-step analysis, then makes the determination whether or not the accessory structure is of such importance that it, in fact, gets treated the same as a principal structure on a significant property. If it does, then it goes through the whole process with the commission, the same way that it would have if, in fact, someone said, I want to demolish the principal structure on a significant property. Alternatively, if it makes the determination at the same time, it's either thumbs up, thumbs down. If it says, no, actually, we think this is a more modern structure, it's got nothing to do with the significance of the principal property, have at it, we can make the determination that you can tear it down. We can say the application is fine. In the case, though, of a determination that that the accessory structure on a significant property is of such importance that gets treated like a principal structure, the determination as to the completeness of the application is made by the commission. Otherwise, the commission doesn't have enough time to make a response because we have to make a determination within 30 days, or at least we have to schedule something within 30 days of respect of an alteration on a significant property. It would give us virtually no time to make that determination if, in fact, we have to review it as the commission as a whole.
But
that's the reason for the timing.
I'm picking up what you're putting down there, but I think if this was to be the change, the garages would be treated as the same as a demolition of a principal structure. Correct. But the architectural subcommittee would not have the power to deem the application as complete. That being said, are you saying that, let's say someone's 2001 garage comes in and they're demolishing it, so it's not significant at all, the architectural subcommittee can just say, hey, we have no, this is not relevant to the historic preservation, and thus the person does not have to go to any meetings or anything like that?
No, yes, but there's a different rationale. Mm-hmm. The rationale is it's subject to the review of the Architecture Review Subcommittee and the commission through the subcommittee, because it's on a significant property. Therefore, what happens if the subcommittee makes the determination that, no, it's modern, then the subcommittee, because it's making the final determination, mm-hmm. then has the ability to say, yeah, we think the application is complete. If, however, the subcommittee makes the determination that the accessory structure is of sufficient importance that it be reviewed by the entire commission, then the commission, because they have to make the decision, mm-hmm. then gets to make the determination whether the application is complete. And that will give us sufficient time to review it, as opposed to basically having, you know, somewhere between 7 and 14 days maximum after the Architecture Review Subcommittee says, yeah, okay, commission, you make the determination. We wouldn't have the ability to review it effectively. Makes sense?
Yes. Yeah. I think I'm going to have to. I'm thinking if we have Word on here. I think like a little bar. Let's do it the old-fashioned way. Jan, let's get the. I think I'm picking up what you're putting down, but.
Get out the old easel.
I want to.
Rich, this came up. I was going to say, what brought all this up is we were getting a lot of applications to demolish garages that didn't look like the significant house, and we were getting one after the next. And I think that what Chairman Franek is saying is this would greatly speed that up, because it's obvious that the garage is falling over. It was built 20 years ago. It made no sense for us and the homeowners to go through all this rigmarole to get it down. So
the subcommittee would review it and make a determination or a recommendation to the commission.
It sounds like what Chairman Frank is saying is the subcommittee would be able to say it's not something we need to review.
Right.
And yeah. So it's, yeah, because I think literally in the last 6 months we've had, four of these things come through. And so a little background.
Yeah.
Before I start this, I'm going to make sure that this
is a dry erase.
The dry erase marker, because if that was Sharpie, my colleagues would have some words. Okay. So I think we should lay out the existing process as it currently stands.
Okay.
In like little. So, say application's filed with me. So
Sorry, guys. I have chicken scratch handwriting. Both my parents have terrible handwriting. So sorry in advance.
Luke, are you going to be, is that going to be filmed? You need to like turn it at an angle so we both, so both the camera and.
I don't think it matters that much, to be honest, but I'll put it.
If you do like, you know, that kind of stuff, I'm just trying to.
There would be a way that everyone could see it, though. That's.
Can you do it like, you know, like that? Like, you know, yeah.
I could do it, and then we can just turn around and show the camera. I don't think
it. Do you want to do it here?
Yeah. All right, so as it currently stands, application submitted, it comes to my email, hey, so-and-so wants to demolish their garage at so-and-so property. I look at it. The first thing I do is I look at it, A, just to see if, for my own knowledge, if they're demolishing a coach house or something, or if it is just that 2001 garage, which I think the house on Gale, their garage literally was from 2001. So then they have to submit an application to me. I'm just going to write, and as it currently stands, the commission has to meet and deem the application as complete. There's some background lore on why that is. I think to summarize, it's people would submit junk. So my understanding on the reason why there is a two-step process. So then this is a meeting, potentially in between this time, depending on it can be up to like 30 days. So then we deem the commission deems the application complete at the meeting, hypothetically. And then another 30 days, the commission meets for final, we'll just go FD for final determination. And so that whole process can be up to 60 days. And so in the background, I had approached Dave and the commission saying, is there a way we can, you know, tighten this up a little bit? So this is how it currently stands now. And I want to do...
If I could interrupt for a second.
Yes, of course.
And the reason for that rationalization is we're talking about 296 properties out of roughly 2,000 within the village, some of which have existed for 125 years. So what's an additional 30 days?
So Dave, how are you proposing the new, what you just laid out?
I'm proposing that the application...
We'll start with the application being submitted to Luke.
Yep. You then forward it to the Architecture Review Subcommittee. Which then looks at it and says... Is this on a significant property? Number one. Number two, is the accessory structure mentioned specifically within the survey? Three, is there a building permit that is roughly contemporaneous or historic with the principal structure? And four, is it the same materials, design, construction methods, etc.? If so, then it is a significant, then it's an important accessory structure on a significant property. It therefore needs to be reviewed by the full commission as if its demolition were the demolition of the principal structure, because the determination is made is yes, it's important. And in fact, it's been considered as part of the entire site. Okay.
Okay.
If in fact they make and then it goes through the process.
So then
if it makes the determination that no, this is a recent architectural aberration, and not part of the original site process or contemporaneous or important, then the subcommittee can make the determination that the application is complete and they can issue a certificate of appropriateness. And then the owner could then proceed to file for a demolition permit. The reason for that is for the split determination as to whether the application is complete, because this is going to take some time. I don't think the determination is going to be made within 7 days. It's probably going to be 14 days, maybe 21, whatever it is.
It's going to say they need plans.
It's going to be something more than 7 days. Accordingly, if you kept the clock for the commission's full consideration of an application for an alteration, not a demolition, but for an alteration, is 30 days, okay? It would then leave the commission virtually no time, maybe a week.
To meet,
get the materials, et cetera, and we would not have the ability. So effectively, the subcommittee is acting as a gatekeeper to determine, in the vast majority of instances, this is a modern structure. It's not subject to further review by the commission. The subcommittee can make the determination in and of itself that it's not important and it doesn't rise to the level of protection. Therefore, go ahead, do your alterations, do your demo, whatever.
Do your demo, but so we have the four-step analysis being completed here and the demolishing my home's garage, which is not important at all. Does the commission still have to meet, or once the architectural subcommittee makes the determination that the garage is not significant, is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
So if someone says their garage, it would end here.
Yep.
But if they're trying to demolish whatever David Reynolds Ogden's home is, who's the architect?
William Drummond.
Significant property. Then it would probably wouldn't even, because that's a home, it wouldn't even involve this, and they would have to go for the completed application.
Yep.
Okay. Now let's play this out. What if the homeowners at the Winslow house are trying to demolish the stables?
Yep.
Where's the process? The four-step analysis is complete. It's the Winslow Stables. It's obviously very historic. Are you saying the commission, the architectural subcommittee, still has the power to deem that application as complete?
No.
It goes through the regular two-step.
It makes the determination of importance.
Importance. There we go.
What the gatekeeping function is one of importance. If it's important, it goes to the regular commission and is treated as any structure on a significant property would be treated. Winslow House is a perfect example. You take a look at that. It is absolutely contemporaneous. It's shown on Wright's original plans. Seen the plans.
Yeah.
But if in fact it's something where it's, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith's home that's got a garage that was built in, you know, they've got a home from 1925 and the garage is a prefab from 1974 and it's falling apart, then the gatekeeper function of the subcommittee is, it's not important. We can make the determination that the application is complete. We're going to make the determination that you can take it down, even though it's on a significant property, because it's not important and it doesn't go to the regular commission.
Okay. I was confused because I couldn't tell if you were saying that they have that power, but then they would still have to go through the whole two. All right. Are we somewhat on the same page? I was lost for a second there.
Do we have to put in the number of days with the subcommittee?
Yeah, it's going to have
14, 16, whatever.
Yeah, I would say it's going to be a substantial. The next time we'll have a lot of deletions and a lot of red.
Okay.
If the commission so chooses to go down with the framework laid out by Chairman Frank.
Oh, I think that's what we were driving toward when we were reviewing all those garages, saying, oh my goodness.
And I think it would be, from staff's perspective, I think the ordinance would look a little bit cleaner this way, because there wouldn't be, and there still might be, but there wouldn't be as substantial as sections about if it's a garage, this. It would just be, if your garage is determined as significant, you're going through everything that would have to happen if it was a home, correct?
If it's, I would call it important, because we already use the word significant.
Yes. Okay.
But if it's an important structure on a significant property, then it goes through the whole process.
Okay.
If in fact it's deemed to be not important, then the gatekeeper function says, you know what, vaya con Dios, it's fine, go for it. Okay. What this does, it accomplishes, I think, the desire to speed things up for the vast majority of circumstances while retaining our ability to review what is our essential function of the preservation of the built environment that gives the history to the village. And there are instances where garages are in fact contemporaneous and are important. Having said that, having lived through the process, when a 125-year-old oak fell on our garage, which was indeed contemporaneous, the side portion, roughly 20% quarter of it, had to be reconstructed, but it had to first be torn down and stabilized, because it was an attractive nuisance. It was a health and safety issue. So I think the village engineer.
Yes.
The village engineer and the village administrator wrote a letter on our behalf saying, yeah, this is health and safety. I mean, we had concrete block and beams and wood timbers and things just sticking out at odd angles, and it would be nirvana for a very curious 11-year-old
youth. Yeah,
to be hurt as a result.
Okay, so sorry if I was the only one that wanted to lay out the difference, but I thought, okay,
that helps
the process.
Yes. So, but just to kind of reiterate, I think this will be a substantial. There's going to probably be a lot of red next time, but I think it's going to end up being tighter, which I think would make the document easier to read and also just consistency throughout.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I think, something that is understandable. It's rational. It preserves our function, but also recognizes that we don't need to provide additional time frame interference if, in fact, everybody recognizes up front it's just not warranted.
Yep.
And we've got the various steps in terms of is it complete? What are the time frame? The only thing we have to think about is how what's the time frame for the determination that, in fact, the accessory structure is of importance and as a result has to go to the commission. And
yeah, I mean, I would say 14 days is probably sufficient. We can start with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the whole process. It theoretically cuts the whole process in half for the people who have the garages that they don't need to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, in this, in the first scenario, what we're doing now, I mean, they'd have to, the owner would have to come here and we'd say, well, is it complete? I'd say, yeah. And then we're done. And it's like,
yeah.
And then it's another 30 days before.
Right. And I think that was frustrating to owners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will
And if any one of the four steps is no, then it all fails.
Not necessarily. It could be something that it's not mentioned on the survey, but there's a contemporaneous building plan, a building permit. Having said that, as has been pointed out to me in the past, the stash of village building permits has survived to some extent through both a fire and a flood, and accordingly is not entirely complete back to the original foundations of the village back in, what, 1870s. So it's not entirely there. That's why it's, we may view, I think the language that I had suggested somewhere in this is, we may view it as prima facie evidence, but it's not dispositive in and of itself.
Yeah, I think, if I may, I think there's a joke to be made there that let's hope like Village Hall doesn't get overrun by locusts or some other biblical event happening to our records, or yeah, the whatever the electronic version of locusts is, wiping out our database. So,
and by the way, and for what it's worth, when we were going through the process of living through a partially demolished garage that was then shored up for structural stability over the winter, and so it was no longer an attractive nuisance, it took a while to get contractors out to finish off what's a fairly small project. Several people came to us and said, by the way, I or my father or my mother or, you know, an uncle or aunt went through the same process in the village a couple of years ago, because we have such a significant and old tree canopy. I guess we were once a oak savanna. I think they call it a bur oak savanna.
Yeah, I had, since I started some.
You know, we're not the only ones. This happened 5 or 6 times within the last 10, 12 years.
I think it happened this year where Matt and Jack had to write a letter. Some lady had her garage just destroyed by a mass. Thank God it was still like the 1990s garage, but it just destroyed the whole garage. I think it was on the 500 park somewhere. Hmm. And so they had to get the letter to that it was a, I can't think of the term, but structurally unsound and unsafe. So it does happen.
The reason why the majority of ours survived is because the original builder of our home was in fact a commercial contractor. It's the only residence he ever built. And in fact, there were iron beams in the ceiling that basically the area where our cars sleep at night was shielded by all this iron superstructure. And it was only the side area used for storage of yard equipment and other stuff like fertilizer that got demoed.
Lucky. So I think that is going to substantially change page 13 and the following pages.
The other thing, sub D, I think, on page 15 up top, my note is that should be demolition and not designation.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah, it was my understanding.
Designation.
Yeah, that the commission was interested in finding if in the previous ordinance there was not, or in the existing ordinance, I guess would be, there was not a process laid out for getting the application for a local landmark. And I think that's why I put this in there is, It's up to the commission to determine if they want someone local landmark with the more substantial restrictions and it's a more powerful designation, what process they want the applicant to go through. And I was under the impression the commission said they would like to go them through, they would like for them to go through a public hearing.
Okay. The reason behind my thought process is that as our ordinance currently stands, alterations to a landmark, including demolition, are not permitted, period, paragraph, end of story, unless we say yes. And the thought process then being that if someone wants to have a hearing so that we go through the process to review their application and tell them, you know, yeah, this minor tweak is okay, or what you want to do is thoroughly inappropriate, then that is best done before a public hearing. If, in fact, someone wants to designate a landmark and they want to impose upon themselves some the very significant restrictions as to what they can do prospectively, then that's kind of more their original determination, as opposed to something that is public hearing stuff that would require, you know, publication and signage and hearing and all that other stuff. But I guess others view otherwise, which is fine.
Well, I mean, I read it as I didn't read it as demolition. But to your point, okay, so if someone does take the instance of the people on 1500 block of Franklin, they went through the whole process, apparently, to get to the point where then their house would be a local landmark. So then what was the role of the HPC? Or did it go right to the board? Or what happened next after the
owner? Structure? Because I don't recall.
It's 15.
I don't recall our ever designating a landmark.
There is. It's
the owner did.
There is a
15. If I can get the book back. Because it's in there.
I only knew of the house because I once, in my youth, attended a party there, and I was inside. I was inside, and then I found out later
you were outside, and you know how you got outside.
Yes,
so noted.
Yes, and but I was in. I'm looking back on it now. I was inside the home, and now I was reading the survey, and I was like, "There's a landmark." And yes, it's in the survey.
Yeah, it's 1513. Or no, it's on the west side of the street. And it's not, it's hard to find in here.
That and the Waller Gates, is my understanding, are the only two local landmarks in town.
Yeah. 1516 Franklin Avenue.
Here.
Our designated local landmarks, page 81, at the bottom left column.
1516 Ashland or Franklin?
Franklin. 1516 Franklin. And we're not counted among existing National Register landmarks for this survey report. And somebody told me that the owners took it upon themselves, and that's the it's the Troost family, isn't it?
It's right there,
the truth.
But of course they chose to have the Google Maps blur it out.
Cook County Assessor, probably at the same thing. But I was told, I don't know if it was somebody on the commission, but anyway, I'm told it was the Troost home, and the owners went through the whole process to get the landmark. And I know that happens in Oak Park. But yeah, that's what I was told. But it is
not aware that anyone ever came before us with an application.
Okay. So, all right. So that was my question then. What happened after that owner had it designated? Then they filed with the village, or
I'll have to look into this. And yes, this is the Ivanov residence, I recall. 1516 Franklin.
So, yeah, I mean, right. So what? So then I guess back to D.
The question is,
what is the point of B? Or
do we, does the commission want, what process does the commission want if someone wants to designate their home as a local landmark? What process does the commission want them to go through? Do they want to have to do the public hearing with the notice, or do they want to do a regular commission meeting where they just come in, certified mailers, no certified mailers, sign, no sign?
Well, sort of thing. Oak Park, I would, you know, I'll read once in a while what they've got on the agenda for the HPC. But anyway, there, you know, there will be something about so-and-so is coming forward and they want their home local land to be a local landmark, or they've done all of the work and it's a local. So maybe follow or look at what Oak Park's doing. They're adding, still adding once in a while.
The reason why I was thinking sub D should be demolition is because A, B, and C all deal with demolition on various levels. So this is where we would deal with demolition. If someone's got a landmark and they want to demolish it, then they've got to do an application, and we, you know, probably should do a hearing.
Well,
the likelihood of us saying, yeah, fine, go ahead and demolish a local landmark might be scant, but we'll go through the process of listening to whatever they have to say.
Well, and going back to what you said, local landmarks aren't coming down.
Yeah, unless we okay it. And there's enough penalties in here per day that people are going to notice it after a while. So then I guess the question is, my suggestion would be this sub D deal with demolition of landmarks, and we then have another section that deals with designation of landmarks. And the question is, do we want to go through a hearing, and why don't we find out what these folks did with,
and go from,
you know,
there
1516?
I
don't know what the house is.
It's just a little Tudor revival.
I was gonna use the term unsuspecting, trying to. So the inside though looked like they had kept it. Even at my younger age, I noticed like, okay, something seems like they kept it at the time, or that the inside was kept meticulous to the interior standards of the time, or something. So maybe that's what they relied on, what their application was on.
We have no jurisdiction on the inside, nor do we want jurisdiction on the inside. If someone wants to, you know, one of the Wright Plus homes, which was literally a Wright home across the street from one of the more significant Wright structures in Oak Park, when you walked inside, the walls were, you know, I think someone said they paid homage to zombies, and there were sort of like cartoon figures all over the walls, and there were sculptures of, yeah, that's someone's taste. You know, God love them. It's their home. It's the interior. Got nothing to do with it. You know, plus it's also in a different village. But that's sort of the classic example of, you know, HPC, an historic commission has nothing to do with the inside.
So, okay, yeah, we can see what Truce or those people did.
I'm
throwing out Truce because that's what I heard.
I will look into it.
Yeah.
It's literally right across the street from the William Martin House.
So
I guess we sort of.
So D's pretty. Okay. So D's kind of hanging out there.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how I describe it.
16.
A technical term. Mm-hmm. Back to 15. Okay. E, findings by the commission. If you go to 16, we have 2 and we have 3, but we don't have 1. So E, we need, where is, or, so.
Oh, you're saying before we get.
So findings by the commission shall review, the commission shall review all evidence and as applicable, either But that's, yeah, I'm either. So, I mean,
let's see. One hearing.
Formatting wise, are you saying there just should be, it should be 1, 2, 3, 4 instead of ABC?
If findings, it, there needs to be a, if we've got 2 and 3, we need a 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't go to the next page. Now I see.
Okay. So yeah. 16. Yeah. So,
it's probably before A, B, and C on page 15.
So, but then it needs a heading. Because 2 is reconsideration, and then 3 doesn't really have a head. Well, let's stay on 15. Sorry. So anyway, figure out. We need to figure out something.
Yep.
Okay. So these are lists of our findings. Oh, and then, yeah, and then you've got highlight of the 9 months. That's good because you need to. Okay. So that's all I had on 15.
Anything on 16?
Yeah, I guess D at the top, the 15 days.
I think in light of the changes proposed this evening by Chair Franek, that, oh, wait, why is there a 15?
That's this economic hardship.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so, oh, yeah. That's something else. Okay.
Okay.
No.
How was that better?
So I don't have anything on 16.
No, nothing on 16.
Richard. Yep. 17. 3110A. Decisions and findings. I was looking at this. I think the reference should be 13.14, 13.15, 13.16, 13.17, 13.18, because all those are appealables.
Agree.
But.
Yeah. Sounds good. Nothing else from my end.
Nothing here.
Rich?
Nothing.
18?
I didn't know anything on 18.
19?
No.
The only note I have at 19 is at some point in time there's a flow chart at the end of the whole thing.
Yep.
Which is...
And was...
Okay.
So I think...
Discussion regarding protection, promotion, workforce architecture, and history.
The only, you know, the only note I made, and you kind of mentioned it, so the searchable database. And if we can't get it one way, is there some way, if we somebody truly, truly wants, which usually it's me doing some kind of research, that we can access the hard. I don't know that. I think we brought it up before, but we didn't really.
Do you not have a copy of the massive book that's like that thick?
That's still just the significant properties.
Okay.
I'm talking.
Okay.
Yeah, the 2000 or.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big book is 2 pages for each significant property, and that's online.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, we can. You've got it. The library has it. A historical society, a museum has it. No, it's the searchable database.
It's everything.
I mean, it's the public works, but it's everything.
Yeah.
It's, all those 2000, Dave, that you mentioned.
The update on it is that it's still being worked on. I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Really?
Was what Jessica and the IT gentleman had told me. Rich, for some background, you used to be able to look up any home in town during, from that commission review online and see what the surveyors had said. But there were some concerns were raised with it internally, and it had to be taken offline. Oh. And so we're finding a way to re-put it back online in the proper manner.
And that's what I had used when I was going through those properties less than 50 years old in the back of the book, and then getting that update, and that was the source.
So, yep, light it. I had seen a rough draft.
Because people have said, I'd like to look up my home. Good. That's good news.
Okay.
All right, that's all I had.
Other business. One item. With David's passing, we now have a vacancy on the Architecture Review Subcommittee. So we need to appoint someone, at least temporarily, to fill that vacancy. In terms of finding another commissioner, I have expressed my feelings to the village president that our commission will be well served if we can find another architect, because we have been extraordinarily gifted by having two architects who are experienced and give of their time in this area to serve on the Architecture Review Subcommittee, in addition to the commission as a whole. So I think we're waiting further developments in that area. To that end, I think we need to find someone, at least on a temporary basis.
For
the Architecture Review Subcommittee. You need two people.
I would suggest that perhaps Chairman Franek could help with your vast knowledge of the homes and the process. Perhaps in the, you know, just as a, to fill the gap. Not sure if you're willing to do that, but certainly.
I am not an architect, nor do I play one on television.
Right.
I do have some interest in some of the homes, and some knowledge gained over the years on some of the structures. Plus, I certainly know the process. So, yeah, if the commission feels that's appropriate, I would, on a temporary basis, until we can find someone with a more thorough background than I. So,
I think that makes the most sense.
Since that's a designation by motion, is in fact there a motion?
I move that Dave Franek take the position of temporary member of the Architectural Review Subcommittee.
Second.
Luke?
Commissioner Schützenhofer?
Agree.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
Chairman Franek?
Aye. Tag on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And to follow up on Chairman Franek's comments about, I've been searching for architects in the community, and I've got a few emails out.
Great.
There's a couple names out there that,
good.
What I found is a lot of the architects are already on like the planning commission or the library board. So if anyone has some suggestions, please.
You could be, I think, on the library board, and I think you can do the HPC too.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, there are, if you're on the zoning commission, you're typically also on the economic development commission too.
Okay. Yeah, I've reached out. There's a gentleman by the name of Scott Delano. I don't know if any of you know him, but he's an architect. And, he's on the library board.
Okay.
And he used to be my neighbor, so I'm working on him.
We know you can be persuasive.
Yeah.
Yes. You just saw it, Matt?
Yes.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Luke?
Commissioner Schutzenhofer?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Aye.
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 8:45.